2 weeks ago, who was saying anywhere in the news or in journals that Assad would see his country or his reign, his rule come to an end? Even as late as yesterday morning, there was speculation about whether it would happen at all, or whether it would still be days and days or weeks and months. I could not help but think of the words of Isaiah. Do you not see it? Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It is an illustration for us. The suddenness of Assad's fall is an illustration for us of how quickly things can turn in our world and in history in ways that we would not expect, in ways the experts don't foresee, and in ways that are so complete and so full. And yet when you look back, of course all the experts come out and say, well, it makes perfect sense, actually, for all of these reasons. We should have seen it coming. It is a lot like our faith in that regard. One day, this is our hope, that things will turn so suddenly in ways that no one would ever expect. Jesus will return. And yet we will look back and say, well, yeah, it actually makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? That's actually what was supposed to happen. This is what Jesus' birth was like as well. No one could see it coming. No one could see that it would happen in this way. And yet once it happened, we looked back on the words of the prophets and we saw all sorts of things in them that we never understood before. At least those of us who believe that Jesus was God, the Son, come in the flesh. My father said, but will this make a difference in the Middle East? This is not going to usher in the return of Christ, to my knowledge. That is our only hope for true and lasting peace in this world. But we can pray. As I think Reed will lead the prayers, I cannot help but think of some of the Assyrian friends that we've made here in Regina. One family that Heather and I visited, living in the tents still to this day, still living in tents in the mountains of Lebanon, unable to go home for fear of torture and arrest and even death. We can pray that at least for some there will be peace. Where would we be in the face of all these changes that happened in the world, in the face of all the things that happened in our own lives? Where would we be without Jesus? If we did not have him in our life, when we turn on the news, when we try and grapple with all the horrors that we hear about, where would we be if we did not have him in our life and all the challenges that we go through? With Jesus in our lives, there is peace. And there are three ways that I want us to think about or I've reflected on. There is a real world peace that we hope for. And not just as a wishful thinking and not just as a maybe, but it is our sure hope, a real peace coming for this world. And there is peace between ourselves and God, and peace between one another. And there is a feeling of peace, as Cheryl spoke of. There is a real peace that we hope for, a peace between all peoples, the healing of the nations in the words of Revelation, the healing of the earth and all creatures, and humanity at peace with God. Elsewhere, Isaiah the prophet describes a time of peace with as joyful festivals, cities being rebuilt, justice and truth ruling over all peoples, fields and trees full of fruit, people sleeping outside safely. All of this, Isaiah tells us, is to come about when God comes to earth. We heard this read for us this morning. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the peoples will say it together. Say to the cities, behold, your God. See, the Lord comes. Peace begins with God coming to earth through Mary, and it will be completed when Jesus comes again. And it touches all the aspects of life in our world, like a rock that has been dropped in the water, and the ripples expand, increasingly touching more and more people. Or, to use Jesus' own words, like yeast that has been a little tiny bit of yeast that has been put into a vast amount of flour, but over time kneads and expands and spreads throughout all the dough. Peace came to us through Jesus Christ, and will be completed one day. We know that peace is coming, and so we do not give up working and praying for it to come today. It can feel like a lost cause at times. It can feel like it's too hard. It can feel like, what can any one of us do? We make no difference on our own. And there is some truth to all of that. But only if we think we are the ones trying to bring about that peace. But all of our songs and stories of Advent and Christmas are a reminder to us that it was Jesus who accomplished this, and Jesus who will complete it. So we are not trying to bring about peace. We are trying to live it out. We believe that God has come, that peace has been announced, that the end of all conflict is on its way. And so I wouldn't say that we are working towards that goal, but rather we are letting that coming world and that coming peace determine at least how we will live, how we will speak, and how we will pray. I know that one day I will live at peace with God. So today I try to live that out. I know that one day I will live at peace with all of you. And so today I try and live that out, which is probably more of a challenge for you guys than me. I know that one day our world will be at peace. So I try and do what I can to care for creation and all of nature. My failure, or the seeming futility of my actions, maybe cannot change the outcome. But that is the world that I have my hopes set on. That is the world that has been given to me in Scripture. It is my hope. And the moments when I'm able to live out that world now, as if it were already here, those moments are so good. They are so right. They are almost a reward in and of themselves. Thank you, Ray. It is coming. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all of us will see it, even if we could not see it coming in the moment. The advent of Jesus means that God has come. This is the beginning of the end of conflict between God and us. It is also the beginning of the end of conflict between one another. But peace in the world must begin with peace between humanity and God, because God is the source and the sustainer of all life. And when we listen to our desires and our own plans, we place ourselves at odds with life itself. We cannot be at odds with God and hope to be at peace in God's world. But God has taken the first step. With Jesus coming, with his advent, God declared peace on earth. And Isaiah saw it coming. And so he said to us, comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to my people and cry out to them that their conflict is over. Look, your God has come to you. And we heard it in the words of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner to Jesus, who went before Jesus to prepare the way, who went throughout all the region around where Jesus would preach and teach and walk. And he proclaimed, forgiveness of sins. And therefore he said, repent and be right with God. In Romans, Paul puts it this way, in his own body, Jesus reconciled all of humanity to God. Through Jesus, we have peace with God. Anyone who comes to Jesus finds forgiveness. We can bring him anything. Anything that we've done, anything we've said or thought, our divided hearts, our conflicted thoughts, the things that cause us the most shame and embarrassment, our things that we feel most defeated about, any resentment that we have, we can bring him anything we blame God for. All of these things, God forgives through Jesus. Experiencing God's forgiveness is not unlike experiencing being forgiven by another person. Before someone forgives us, you know, it can be a weight or some knot in the midst of our stomach, this unresolved tension that we live with. But what relief and happiness it can give us when we are forgiven by someone. It can give us this sense that everything is right in the world now. This has been our experience, hasn't it? When God forgives us. When we first confess the things that we've done, those first experiences of God's love for us can be so overwhelming. But even today, every time that we pray and confess and repent, it is comfort and peace that God sends to us through Jesus. To work for peace in our world, then, we must work first at being right with God, who came to us in order to be reconciled to each one of us. And in Jesus, we also have peace with one another. In his flesh, he has made us into one body. He has broken down the hostility between us. He has created in himself one new humanity, thus making peace. But peace with one another is hard work. We have to think about how we speak to one another, how we treat one another, how we think of one another. We can no longer justify holding on to resentment, to hurt. We can no longer justify lies, exaggeration, taking what isn't ours, being unfaithful. We must address all of these things within us, and we must forgive all the wrongs that have been done to us. It has been 12 years since, in our congregation, turmoil began to bubble up, and there was hurt. And over the next 4 years since that time, there was conflict that spilled out into the open. I have always presumed that we have forgiven one another for the things that we said and the roles that we played. But for those of us who were here in that time, if there is anything that we are holding on to, now is the time to forgive. There is a relationship between being right with God and right with one another. An increase in the one leads to an increase in the other. This is part of preparing the way for God's coming in our life. John announced forgiveness, but insisted that people had to change. Peace with God unleashes energy for peace with people. When we experience God's love, it is easier to love others. When we know how much God loves us, it changes our heart and softens it and changes how we look at other people that we meet. If we find we are still hard-hearted with one another, the place to begin is in learning about God's love for us and letting that love change us. When we experience how much God forgives us, when we go through just how much we have been forgiven, it helps us to forgive others. That is where we begin, being right with God, and it helps us to be right with one another. But being right more and more with the people around us helps us to be at peace with God. When we are right, there is a sense of moving towards the fullness that we are waiting for, the peace that we are waiting for, and God's Spirit delights in us living out the unity that we have through Jesus. The angels announce God's plan and purpose at the advent of Jesus, peace on earth. But there is also a feeling of peace that Jesus brings into our lives today. On the one hand, in our church teaching and the way we speak, we tend to diminish that. It's just a feeling. On the other hand, we can't help but often mention that first of all when we think of the peace of God, this feeling that we are often given by God, a sense of rightness, calmness, contentment, wholeness. We can choose to welcome Jesus today and this peace that he brings when he comes into our lives. We have a say in who we let into our life. And whether we like it or not, the people that we run into impact us. They come with all the stuff that they're carrying, but inevitably they hand it to us. And we decide what to do. Do we let this person into our life? Do we take what they are handing us? They come to us all full of anxiety and worry, and whether we like it or not, we can feel that they are passing it over to us and putting it into our hands. What are we to do with this? They hand us frustration or hurt. Or people can come and hand us comfort and joy. We are not powerless. We do have a say. And sometimes we shut out comfort. Sometimes we shut out forgiveness. Sometimes we shut out healing and happiness. Sometimes we need to, in order to manage not taking offense and not getting angry. But Jesus comes to each one of us. This is part of the meaning of Advent, to come. And we are preparing for Jesus to come to us. But will we receive him and the things that he brings? Will we open up and let him say what he needs to say to us? And what comes to us as Jesus stands with us? If we open up the way for him, there are so many gifts. When we sit in prayer and meditate on Jesus and think about him, one of the things that comes to us is peace. We rely on drugs these days to deal with pain, to deal with anxiety. But drugs dull our senses. They inhibit our ability to feel. They lead us not to care so much. But Jesus' peace is the opposite. It opens us up. It softens us and asks us to take in what all the goodness in the world and each other. To enjoy God. To love other people. To delight in this world. Jesus' offer of peace is a kind of delight in all that is in this world. It is a sensing of the goodness of God all around us, even in the darkest of situations. And Jesus' peace is not just stillness, but it provides a kind of strength and resolve and determination. We know that we are in God's hands and that all will be well. And so we have peace. And we can carry on and do the task that God has asked us to do, no matter how hard. And whether we succeed or fail at it, we have peace. Jesus is with us. See, the Lord comes, and he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry his sheep against his chest. In this Advent season, I pray that in your prayers each day, in your singing, in your fellowship, in your reflections on the words, that you would know Jesus the Good Shepherd in a new way, that once again he would come to you, and that you would know his peace, that you would open yourself up to it, and that as you are reconciled with God again, that you would cast your mind over the relationships that you have. Is there someone that you can forgive? Is there someone that you need to approach in apology? And we do not lose hope. We are looking towards the day when Jesus Christ will return and once and for all establish peace on earth. Thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.